Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today are Lisa Schwartzman, the president of Airbus of America Corporation, as well as the company's chairman and CEO, Gren Schoch. The company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange, ticker symbol EOS. Thanks for joining us today there, guys.
Well, thank you.
So starting off, can you talk to us a little bit about some of your stories and developments since our last interview, which was back in June of last year?
Well, the principal thing that's happened over the last year is the continued growth in our rubber compounding business, continued growth in our automotive flexible products business, and the acquisition of IRT, which dramatically strengthens our defense business.
And so what were some of the key drivers there behind your recent financial results?
Well, as Gren just mentioned, our rubber compounding business put in their best performing year ever. Total volumes are still down, declined over 2014. And overall, over the last 5 years, we're probably still about 20% from a volume perspective below where we were, primarily as a result of the decline in the resource and mining sector in particular. However, we've been able to virtually double our EBITDA in that time. For last year, gross margin dollars increased by 30% over the prior year, and EBITDA dollars improved 27% to $18.3 million. Tolling volumes remained strong last year, primarily in the sort of 15 to 18% of our total volume. In our automotive business, sales grew 14% over the prior year to $143 million, and EBITDA dollars grew 29% to $17.3 million. Our engineered products business, which includes both our defense and our industrial products business, was up quite significantly, or primarily because of the acquisition of IRT, and our industrial products business continues to have some softness as a result of some of their market segments. On a consolidated business perspective, our unadjusted EBITDA improved by $1 million, and net income was essentially flat. However, we were impacted by a number of charges that we incurred in the year that in aggregate negatively affected our fully diluted EPS by 30 cents. We had a share-based compensation expense of $6.2 million, which was a negative 20 cents per share. We had acquisition and financing transaction expenses and fees of $2.5 million or 7 cents a share. And we had restructuring costs related to our defense business in relation to the closing down of one of our facilities and consolidating that into another one of $1.1 million for the year, which was a further 3 cents. Adjusting for those, our EBITDA for the year would have been $39.8 million versus the $30 million we reported, and our EBITDA margin would have been 13.1%.
What are some of the steps that you're taking in this year to improve the, further improve the rubber compounding sector's financial performance?
For the most part, we're continuing on the trend in what we've been doing over the last 5 years, which is pretty much, like I said, it's improved our EBITDA. We've doubled our EBITDA in 5 years despite declining volume. So we think that we're on the right trend for what we're focusing on, which is continuing to diversify our customer base and extend into higher margin compounds in combination with our relentless attention to both operational efficiencies and focus changes in our support functions. So with the changes in what's been going on in the industry, we've been quite focused on what I'll call our back office support and processes, starting with the way we go to market with our sales team to how we do compound development to commercialization. And all of this is with the objective of increasing our speed to market, the efficiency of manufacturing smaller runs, which is the result of having a larger customer base, but largely smaller customers than where we were previously, and, of course, without impacting at all the high level of customer service and the reputation we have in the industry.
Certainly. And in what ways do you see the recent IRT acquisition continuing to benefit the company over the next year and beyond?
Well, the IRT acquisition is very complementary to our defense business in that they're a leading manufacturer of filters for war gas and other contaminants. They are very important to the continued growth of our gas mask business. And as you recall, we've recently introduced a new state-of-the-art gas mask to the market. They also manufacture PAPRs, which are powered air purifiers, which go with the gas mask for uses in first responder, medical, and other applications. There are other product lines such as shelters and isopods help increase our exposure to the first responder and healthcare markets. Our international sales platform, which we had established for our traditional defense products, is ideal to help distribute IRT's products internationally. Having said that, the acquisition was made primarily for the long term, not the short term, and most of the benefits that we will see and most of the growth we will see will be coming in a three-year time frame starting 2017.
Great. And so what are some of the ways that Airbus plans to increase revenue and efficiency in the industrial products business over the next few quarters?
The industrial products business is and has experienced some softness due to volatility in many of its markets. It is comprised really of its own business and then is also the manufacturing site for our defense products. So the first order of focus for us really is ensuring that we get up to speed in, we consolidated one of our defense facilities into that facility, and so ensuring that they get up to speed on that. And then we're working very diligently on some business development projects for new customers in diversified, with diversified end-use applications. And we're looking to consolidate both our sales force and our R&D functions across really where the rubber mix with our rubber compounding business on the mixing side.
And what are some of the other goals and milestones that you're hoping to accomplish over the course of the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, obviously with the acquisition of IRT, we are still very focused on continuing the integration there, really on all fronts. We started, obviously, like I said, with the consolidation on the operational side. We started with four facilities. We will, by the end of this year, be down to two facilities. The next order of business on that front is we will be closing down our dedicated R&D facility and bifurcating those functions into our Actonvale site where our molding is done. So we'll be putting any of the rubber-based technologies and R&D function up there, as well as moving anything associated with filter technology down into Landover, Maryland, which is where IRT's facility is. We're also looking to obviously continue in this time period to further along our development on the new products that we're working on, primarily our low-burden glove and new filter technology. And we're looking to further integrate our sales and marketing teams. For our automotive business, we're looking to expand the partnerships and their global footprint, all with the view to being able to provide a greater service to our existing customers as well as expand the customer base and enable us to bid on global platform tenders that are coming as opposed to just domestic ones. And then in general, we're continuing to work to integrate across our divisions to reduce the number of silos, if you will, and to leverage our expertise that exists in our various divisions and implement the best practices and synergies across the business.
Well, good. And so what are some of the current trends right now in the rubber manufacturing industry, and how else are you positioning the company to capitalize?
Well, that's a pretty broad question, but some of the major trends in the rubber compounding industry are continued consolidation of the industry. The oversupply situation that has existed for most of the last decade is gradually reducing as domestic demand grows and as suppliers are being consolidated. On the rubber manufactured product side, we're seeing a resurgence in North American demand as basic industries are picking up, and obviously the strong North American auto industry has helped in that regard. For a number of reasons, the OEMs are looking more to a North American supplier base for local production, and are looking for us to participate in their global supply bases, as Lisa was talking earlier. So I think Airbus is very well positioned to take advantage of the current trends.
Right, and so once again joining us today are Gren Schoch, the chairman and CEO of Airbus of America Corporation, as well as the company's president, Lisa Schwartzman. The company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange, ticker symbol BOS, currently trading at 1572 a share Canadian. Market cap is around $365 million. And before we conclude here, to recap some of your key points, why do you believe investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Well, we see continued growth opportunities in all three of our key businesses. The company's been a public company since the early 1990s, and over the long term has consistently outperformed the TSX index. Growth has been organic and financed internally from internally generated cash flow and debt. We have grown to the size we are today with next to no equity issues. The last time we did one was in 1996. Management and insiders continue to hold over 27% of the stock and are compensated based on financial metrics which are favorable to the shareholders, including such things as IRR and ROE and other profitability measures.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress, and we'd like to thank you both for taking the time to join us today and update our investor audience on Airbus. It's always good to have you on.
Thank you.
Thank you.